hard road and easy way.
Life is hard.
That's my hard road and easy way.
Life is hard.
That's my hard road and easy way.
Life is hard.
That's my hard road and easy way.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another awesome episode of Easy Talk Live. I'm your host, Eric Easy Zuli, on EasyWayBroadcasting.com, powered by WTV Networks, which is a worldwide distribution. Over 16 million viewers on YouTube, What You Need TV, formerly with Akon's Convict Music, and a lot of the awesome stuff that you guys have seen in the Hollywood world and the business world. And this is on Blog Talk Radio. It's a talk radio podcast every Thursday, 10:30 a.m., and we get crazy. We connect people. We do fun stuff. We do it the easy way. When you're done, do it the hard way. Do it the easy way. That's the premise. Hashtag easy way. You can join our group, Hollywood the Easy Way, on Facebook. That's letter E, letter Z. Easyway.com, guys. So we got a fantastic show for you. Got two amazing guests. First guest is a good friend of mine. His name is Brent Harvey. And Brent Harvey is the co-founder of the Hollywood Music and Media Awards. And if you actually search Hollywood Music and Media Awards, What You Need TV, or actually, if you just search Hollywood Music and Media Awards, it should come up. We were one of the first people in the beginning when they started this thing. We ran the carpets. We were involved. We met a lot of the people. And, man, they do everything from all the people that do the scoring on films and the TV show stuff and some of the biggest music people. They just did a big launch thing with Bum Pop Radio. And my man Verdeen White from Earth, Wind & Fire was there. Redman was there. A whole bunch of people were there. And so we're collaborating, we're talking, we're doing it the easy way, you know, and so we're going to have him on as a guest, get to know Brent a little bit more and how he got this thing started, why he got this started, and how it's going to be beneficial and how Easy Way and HMMA can help you as an independent artist get out there more and go mainstream. We also have another fantastic guest. His name is Jeff Finholt, and Jeff is the original lead Jesus Christ Superstar, lead singer of Black Sabbath, on the cover of Time Magazine, 30 million albums sold, 6 world tours, Christian Work International, Christian television show on 89 satellites worldwide, and faith-based artist speaking evangelist. So, evangelist. And so, as you guys know, we're a faith-based company, and we're a vehicle for God. We're giving Hollywood back to God, and so this is going to be a pretty incredible interview. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. So, a couple announcements, guys. Before we get started, we're going to go a quick commercial break here. I got to make sure that you guys know what's going on, and sponsors keep the airtime going. So, we're going to do a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll give you guys a couple updates and announcements on what's going on in the Easy Way, some of the new advancements and movements. And we appreciate all of our sponsors and supporters and syndicators and distributors and all the people that support us, especially Soul Central Magazine out there in the UK, hashtag Easy Way UK. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. Our watches are the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and international design models. HavanaWatches.com. Find watches exclusively for you.
You guys remember 95335. Use that promo code. You get discounts, Easy Way discounts. Get that Easy Way watch by Havana Watches in Cuba. Hey, guys. What's up? It's your favorite host, social media networking strategist, and motivational speaker, Eric Easy Zuli. Okay, so check this out. Now you can connect directly with your favorite celebrities, get your own personal video message from myself and other celebrities, including actors, musicians, sports stars, and many more, including stars from Star Trek, Star Wars, wrestling, the NFL, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, and much more. Interested? Check out www.celebvm.com. That's www.celebvm.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y. I'll hook you up. And one of our great affiliations, alliances, is Love All Humans Radio. And we love that they are just spreading positivity. And so here's Love All Humans.
Love All Humans Radio Show with your host.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tracy.
This is your show for positive music, talk, and entertainment. The Love All Humans Blog Talk Radio Network.
We are here to uplift your spirit and educate on all things Positively Human.
We have listeners of all ages.
Call in to talk with us live.
Call in to 718-766-4494. That's 718-766-4494. We are on live every Monday from 5 p.m. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we are archived and podcasted thereafter.
Topics change every Monday, so be sure to listen every week.
Also, check out our website at www.loveallhumans.com.
And email us at join@loveallhumans.com with any questions, comments, or show ideas. Also, for all your residential, commercial, or investment property needs, check out LoveAllHumansRealty.com or call me, Tracy Williams, at 562-354-1724.
We support EASY
and the EASY Way Broadcasting Network
for doing it
the EASY Way.
We love you. Love all humans.
All right, guys, and we love all humans, and you guys can follow them on Twitter, love all humans, and we appreciate the they actually gave me an honor, 2014, I think it was, 2000, one of those. And so we are going to be coming up with our guest soon. He's running a little bit late, but it's all good. We're going to keep it moving. I got some information for you. We've been telling you guys about Easy Way Studios in Orange County, California. We do have a 22,000 square foot facility for a production. We're building a music studio, events. We're doing trainings. We're doing a big expo on November 7th with LATIP International and CEC Global Events. We're doing workshops. I'm going to be doing something where I'll be, if you guys want to learn more about secrets of success the easy way, you know, networking tips, digitally monetizing, making money on the internet, how to create your own business on the internet, all the things that I've done. We're going to be doing a training with that. So you guys can hit us up at 424-209-9290. You want to call on the show and hang out with us, 914-338-1303. We're going to be doing showcases, Easy Way Music. Proud to announce one of our new board members. Well, actually, he's always been on the board, but he kind of dropped out the face of the earth. Kevin Dorsey, who was Michael Jackson's music director for over 10 years, 15 years, long time, very, very established gentleman, good friend of mine. Kevin Dorsey's just come on board the advisory board, along with Larry Namer, the co-founder of E! Entertainment, Dev Ross, Emmy Award-winning writer with Land Before Time and Aladdin, John Reynolds, who did E.T. with Steven Spielberg, Ernie Singleton, former president of MCA Records, and Chris Donovan, the former director of the Golden Globes and producer and director of the Spirit Awards. We're trying to make a movement, bring Hollywood to Orange County. We're making the moves happen. We have a full-fledged for studio. If you guys want to do commercials, infomercials, green screen stuff, we just did a big production with our Easy Way Angels. Our Easy Way Angels is part of our promo team. So if you're looking to promote your product, we have beautiful models that can help do that. When we do our red carpets and we run red carpets, we have our beautiful girls holding the slate, being spotters for the celebrities. And just ultimately, the photographers love to shoot them, and then they promote it on social media. So we're in the midst of getting about 25 girls to promote your product on social media. They all have their own followings along with Easy Way Broadcasting. We have Easy Way TV, Easy Way Radio, and Easy Way Magazine. Easy Way Magazine is rocking. Our first preview issue was at the United Nations Beverly Hills, Infinity of Beverly Hills welcoming community welcoming event. And people love the magazine. We actually are also proud to announce that I've actually been appointed as the president of the Beverly Hills United Nations Press Corp. So we will be posting content, contributing content, and running content on the news blog for the Beverly Hills, the UNA Beverly Hills chapter. We're also going to be involved in the United Nations Southern California Conference, which is going to be a lot of fun talking to the vice president of that. And it's just been a blast, a lot of fun. And we're going to go to another quick commercial break and let you guys know a little bit more about what we do the easy way. And if you guys have any questions, again, call in. I'm right here. I'm waiting to hear from you. 914-338-1303. I want to give a big shout-out as well to Gucci Design, doing our new website. We'll be launching really soon. And also My Pocket for the wonderful Eric Zulli app. You guys can have me in your pocket. You can hit me up on the app. Everything is on that app. Again, it's Eric Zulli, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y, on Apple or Android. Hey guys, what's up? My name is Eric Easy Zulli. I'm a host, motivational speaker, and social media networking strategist. CEO of Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks. Are you done doing it the hard way? Well, come do it the easy way. Check us out at easywaybroadcasting.com. That's letter E, letter Z. We offer promotional PR marketing services, media outreaching, social media networking, fundraising. We have 7 different divisions, from TV and film to music to events to fundraising to media to PR to marketing. We're a one-stop shop. Check us out at easywaybroadcasting.com. That's letter E, letter Z. And our Facebook is Easy Way Broadcasting, Easy Way Broadcast on Twitter, and Easy Way Broadcasting on Instagram. Follow the movement, and remember, hashtag Easy Way. If you're a like-minded individual looking to do positive things, check us out. You can also receive our text updates by texting Easy Way. I'm going to call Brent. We're going to ambush him in his car, see if we can get this interview going. See if we can't snag him. This is the co-founder of the Hollywood. There he is. This is the co-founder of the Hollywood Music and Media Awards. What's up, Brent? This is your man, Eric Zulli. You're on Easy Talk Live.
No, you've reached Papa John's Pizza. How may I help you?
Oh, good. Well, I'm hungry. I'll give Brent a call in a future. Can I get some anchovies, a little bit of spinach? I'm trying to think of the most unique pizza toppings I could ever ask for. No, but and so did you used to work for Papa John's? You know, I used to know the head of marketing for Papa John's Pizza.
Oh yeah, no. You know, actually, I never worked for Papa John's, but you know, obviously they have a unique marketing program that's been going on for a while and working pretty well. They put a lot of money into it, so therefore, you know, that's the one that popped into my head.
You know you're going to get me in trouble because now Domino's Pizza sponsors us. And Domino's Pizza is
shit.
What are you talking about Papa John's for? All right, brother. Well, hey, welcome to the show. I appreciate your time.
You.
I mean, guys, let me tell you, this guy is a very busy guy. He just got done doing the Independent Awards with the Boom Pop Radio. It was sponsored by Hollywood Music and Media Awards, HMMAAwards.com, if you want to know more information. And you co-founded the Hollywood Music Media Awards. Long ago? When did this start?
6 years ago. And, you know, right at the height of the recession. Of course, perfect timing to launch a business.
Exactly. And so what was the first venue you did your first thing? Were we with you guys first? Or when we did the red carpet for you guys, the after party, and I mean, we've done a couple of things with you guys. Was that the first event or was that a couple of events afterwards? I can't remember.
You know, I really don't remember. It could have been the second one. But the venue that we used to use was the Highlands.
There
at the Hollywood and Highlands complex, yeah.
That's where it was. So maybe it was the first, maybe it was the second. Either way, we've grown together. We've both been doing positive things. I love what you're doing, man. I want to say it on my show. We have over 750,000 listeners, top 500 featured host on Blog Talk Radio, and then obviously a lot of syndication partners, Soul Central Magazine, Actors Reporter, Fan TV, Global Networks, and numerous other magazines that this is going to be syndicated to. I want everybody that's hearing right now, I want to commend Brent for doing what he's doing, because, you know, a lot of award shows, a lot of people, I'm not going to mention names, but we all know who we're talking about. If you're in the game, you know who we're talking about here. But a lot of people, they'll do like a kind of a pay to play thing. You know what I mean? They'll kind of be like, oh, if you pay this much, then we'll give you this much. We'll give you this award. We'll do this. And, you know, to me, an award show is not an award show unless it's a legitimate award show with a legitimate panel, and it's like, okay, you're getting an award because you're talented, or you're getting an award because you've made a difference, and you've had a lot of accomplishing situations, you've helped the community or whatever, not because you got money. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's one thing that I commend the HMMA for, because you give awards to people that really deserve it. You got a lot of talent. I mean, you got some really heavy hitters involved with you guys. So talk to us more about the HMMA and how you, you know, how
well,
you guys
I'm actually the co-founder. I bought out my business partner last year, but when he came to me and said, hey, would you help me produce an award show? And I said, what kind? He said, Independent Music Awards. And I rolled my eyes and I said, oh my God, not another one. Because as you know, as you alluded to, there's a lot of these that are out there that are just a, let's say, not above board type of thing. So at the time, I was very involved with getting music placed in film, television, and whatever. And I said, listen, you know, there's no award show out there that specifically recognizes the music of all visual mediums, from film, television, commercial advertisements, video games, and all the visual media out there, which has become the means of promoting, marketing, and distribution of music nowadays. Because, you know, you hear a song in a movie, or you hear a song on a TV show, or you hear the score or whatever, and you don't know that much about it, and until you hear it, and then people really get interested in it, because it's part of that package, you know, the visual package. So it's a great marketing tool. So we wanted to recognize the music of the visual mediums and keep independent music artists involved, because the Hollywood Music Media Awards was also the first award show to have categories for outstanding music supervision, which is another faction of the entertainment business that really hasn't gotten a whole lot of love or recognition over the years. And these people are the ones that work really, really hard about finding music, finding the right music to be placed in whatever medium and project that they're working on. So I just thought it would be a good opportunity for all of these music artists from around the world, because we are an international event. We get submissions and music from everywhere, from Japan, Norway, I mean, 40 some odd countries. And to have their music be exposed to the music licensing machine of Hollywood, which is directors, producers, music supervisors, and so on, just made sense to me. And I kind of call the HMMA, you know, an opportunity disguised as an award show. Because at the actual event, which happens in November, by the way, November 11th this year at the Fonda Theater in Hollywood.
I'll be there front row, and I'll be hosting.
Yeah. at the actual event, we have these independent music artists and composers coming in from around the world. I mean, they fly in from Spain and Australia and whatever. And to be in the same room with some of the biggest names in the business, whether it's a director or a music supervisor or whoever, and actually have the opportunity to meet face to face and go, hi, I'm so-and-so, and, you know, I'm a nominee or I'm a winner and all that. There's just a lot of synergy created by this award show, which I'm very proud of. And as a result, for example, and I don't know, a year or two ago, we had a music artist from Austin, a nobody, basically play one of the six performance slots at the awards. And she brought down the house. And immediately after that, director Andy Fickman, who is responsible, he's done everything from Paul Blart Mall Cop to Anaconda to Parental Guidance and all these movies. He was one of our presenters, and immediately after her performance, he was going to present an award for music supervision, and he got up there and he said, ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly why I'm here. That girl's music is going to be in one of my films. And he made that announcement from the podium, And so that led to meetings, which led to the girl writing a couple of songs for one of his movies. And that is a perfect microcosm of how things, I believe, should work. Given the opportunity and given the connection, there are great things that can come from it.
Oh, I agree 100%. I love that. And that, see, that's why I'm looking forward to our collaboration, because, you know, Easy Way is all about, you know, the stepping stones to success and making it a little bit easier on the talents as well as the businesses and the brands, and really, you know, connecting you to the real individuals that can really make moves and things happen. You know, we just did a big production with our Easy Way Angels, and we actually, if you guys want to look at it on YouTube, you can actually see a video of them literally saying, because I was doing it the Easy Way, I've been in this film, I've done this thing with this product, I've met these stars.
Yeah, you know, that feels good, doesn't it? It feels really good.
It feels really good. And see, that's the thing. And I don't know. Would you agree with me, Brandon? I get really real on this show, so don't hang up on me. But I kind of feel like Hollywood gets lost sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel there's a little bit of the smoke screen and you know, the pipe dreams and all that type of stuff. And Hollywood gets lost, and then people, you know, like, for instance, showcases. You guys are like the ultimate showcase, only, like you said, disguised as an award show. You know, a lot of people will say, hey, pay me $500 or $1,000, and then I'll get you in front of these labels and these A&Rs and yada, yada, yada. And I mean, these artists that really don't have that much money, they do everything they got to put this money together, and they pay this money on the hopes of a deal, on the hope of all this stuff, and yet they really don't get anything. Then they leave with a bad taste in their mouth, hurting us, people that are really trying to make a difference in these artists' lives, because it's giving the whole showcase, you know, a bad name. So what we're trying to do with Easy Way, and I'm hoping to do with you, is we have power of the press. We are a network. We get out to hundreds of millions of people. We have a lot of partners. We have a lot of established people to back us up. Same thing with you. We can, whether you're actually winning an award or not, or whether you're actually getting a deal or not, you're still going to get the value for social media. You're still going to get the value for press. You're still going to get connections. I mean, I don't know about you, but I will personally grab them and make sure they meet certain people. And it's not up to us to get them a deal. It's up to us to provide them those opportunities, but those opportunities that don't have smoke screens in front of them.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I'm glad.
which is why, you know, besides the awards, we actually have an awards week, which means we try to make the extend the experience for especially those people from out of town that go through all the trouble and expense to get here. Besides the award show, we actually have a couple of mixers, professional mixers, the day after or one or two nights after the event at the partnered hotel that we have partnered with, that we get discount rooms for our out-of-town guests. And we have these mixers specifically for that reason. Because, you know, during an award show production, you can meet some people, but you really don't have the opportunity to mix and mingle and have in-depth conversations. So we have these mixers that go on right after the award show that gives the opportunity for these music artists and composers to meet the people that were actually there at the awards. So that's one thing that's really cool that we do that people really, really enjoy. And the other thing is, too, I'm a firm believer in giving back, which I know you are as well. And that's why we have different 501c3s and charities involved. For example, this year, the Shawnee Foundation, which is the Pediatric Cancer Foundation, finding the cure for pediatric cancer and providing providing stuff for kids with cancer, as well as the Entertainment Through Music Los Angeles. And what that does is it provides music teachers and instruments to underprivileged schools. And a portion of proceeds from the HMMA go to these 501c3s rather than just having it there to go, hey, you know, this is a great organization, you know, try to connect with them. We actually make a real connection, which is we write checks. to these people, you know? And
we do the blogging on people that are really actually giving back. Because, you know, so many people, they resource and they use these nonprofits, but the nonprofits really don't get much out of it. Everybody wants a tax write-off. You know, everybody yeah. wants to use the nonprofit name. But a lot of times people don't want to give back. So we will actually – I mean, I don't want to say put them on blast, but we will put it – I mean, we're news. We cover things. And so we'll actually – you know, if you're not doing the right thing – and you're resourcing a nonprofit name and you're not actually giving back to it, you know, we're gonna review that. We're gonna give you a bad review. You know, but if you're doing a positive thing and you're actually giving the money, you deserve to get that credit. You deserve to know how. And see, here's the thing, a lot of times people don't even talk about how much money. They don't talk about details. They're just, oh, this was a big event and there's a lot of press and there's a lot of this and that, da 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 da, but they don't actually go into nitty gritty and the details of how they helped. You know what I mean? A lot of times the cause is forgotten about. And no, I know. Yeah. I mean, dude, I wouldn't have had you on my show if you weren't doing the right things. And so I commend you for what you're doing. And the easy way is looking to forward to supporting what you're doing.
No, I'll you know, I'm completely caring about everything. And you know, even though this is a broadcast, I tell you, you know, we give 10% of our proceeds to entertainment through music.
Oh, wow, guys, sometimes we have technical difficulties. I don't know what happened. Hey, you know, it's just, we just did a call here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you guys can't hear me, I apologize. I'm getting some messages here that you guys can't hear me that well. I apologize. So I'm gonna try to get my man Brent back on the line and continue this interview. Let's see what we got here. I don't know. He probably lost signal on the cell phone.
Did I just?
Hey, yeah, I think we lost you, man. Maybe we went into a canyon or something. But hey, please continue.
Where did I leave off?
Well, I was talking about how people utilize nonprofits and people, you know, do they don't.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Like I was saying, you know, we're completely transparent, and I know this is a public broadcast, and I'm here to tell you, 10% of our proceeds go to entertainment through music, so that they can get the kids can get the instruments and the music education that underprivileged schools need. And that's, you know, that's cut and dry. And I'm a firm believer like you that, you know, these events or people or whatever that use a organization or foundation or 501c3 for self-serving purposes or marketing alone without actually, you know, stepping up to the plate and making sure that they benefit, they need to be exposed. So good for you.
Yeah, thank you, man. You're right. And I have a couple. I have a surprise, actually. Do you know who our next guest is?
No, I don't.
Okay, our next guest, his name's Jeff Finholt. And I'll read you a little bit of his resume. He's actually original lead Jesus Christ Superstar, lead singer of Black Sabbath, on the cover of the Time. He's been on the cover of Time magazine. 30 million albums sold, 6 world tours, Christian work internationally, a good guy. And I think I'm looking forward to introducing you to and seeing how that conversation will go. So don't go anywhere. When we bring our next guest in, I want you to stay and meet him if you can.
Okay.
But, yeah, and all the stuff that we're talking about, guys, we want to bring this to Orange County. Okay, and this is a little different movement because, I mean, as you know, Brent, everybody with a pen and paper is a producer in Hollywood, and, you know, you talk to people charge you $10 or $20 to park somewhere. I mean, you go to Ralph's and you get charged. You know, and that doesn't happen out here. And I want to put Ralph's down. Ralph's rocks. I love Ralph's. But
me too.
Yeah, you know, and so it's just a little different. We do have a 22,000 square foot facility. I told you I want you to come down and check it out. And I know you were saying that you have some things going on in Orange County, and it's the Orange County Music Awards and different things. So talk to us about, what's some of the accomplishing, like, testimonials type stories? That was really cool listening to that girl that you guys have, like, the life-changing stories. Give us a couple of life-changing stories that HMMA has done.
That one that I just told you about, let me see about another Zane Efendi, who actually won Best New Composer at one of our award shows, immediately after, the day after, his phone kind of rang off the hook by everybody from independent filmmakers to agents that really wanted to put him to work. And that was simply because of the publicity that he got from winning the award. And, you know, we're really happy about that. And he continues, every time I talk to him, he continues to say, man, you know, the night I won that award, that changed my life. And
I love it.
Yeah. You know, so, and I get goosebumps when I hear that. And he's doing great. He's busy as ever. And sometimes he kind of kids me. He says, Brent, you know, that name changed my life. And I can't decide if it's for the best or for the worst because he's so buried. He's so buried and he has to turn down projects. So, you know, we kind of laugh about it, but, you know, that's another example right there. And there's numerous examples of music artists coming in from around the country or from around the world, and a music supervisor hearing their music through the HMMA, and they contact me and go, hey, Brent, can you connect me with this person? I think their stuff might be right for one of my projects. And all I do is I make the introduction and I step away. You know, it's not like I'm trying to be a middleman or anything and get part of the sync licensing or whatever. It's me just kind of going, hey, you know, I love the results. You know, let's keep it going.
Yeah, it's just a good feeling. It makes you feel good. And, you know, we have so much synergy together because we're opening up a full-fledged music studio. Like I said, we have Michael Jackson, music director on board, the former president of MCA Records, you know, Ernie Singleton, and some people that are going to be behind us on this. And we're actually going to make their music, and then we have the facility to make the music video. And then we have all the marketing abilities to push it, and then we have all the doors to walk them into a deal. So we have a whole program we're developing, and love for you to come check it out and see what we're doing. Let me ask you a question, Brent. You've known me for a while. What was the first? And be honest, if it was like, dude, this kid's conceited or whatever, I don't care. I really want to know the first opinion, the first day you met me, the first time you saw my face, the first time you heard me speak. What was your honest opinion?
My honest opinion was, to tell you the truth, this guy has a little bit too much energy, and he's a little too slick, and I don't know if he's legit. You asked me to be honest, and then when you actually came through with what you said you were going to do, and you were actually there, and you were bringing in people, I forget, you brought in some celebrities or something that I really can't recall, but then I told, you know, I said to myself, oh, okay, so he's not just a bullshitter like everybody else in Hollywood. So that was my first experience with you, and that was a few years ago.
Okay, and then moving on in the years, I mean, we kept in touch. Love the social media, but you know, what do you think brought us back together? What do you think? Again, I'm asking these questions because we give like networking success tips, and we want to give our fans the ability to advance their networking situations. And you know, you're a principal, I'm a principal. What do you think created this interview? Why are we still together? Why are we talking about working together?
Well, you have grown quite a bit since I first met you, and what I meant by grown is not necessarily personally, but your network and the things that you're putting in motion is growing and moving forward, and that's something that I watch and I notice. And when we connected earlier this year, and you caught me up on some things, even though I was aware of what you were doing, but, you know, you actually talked to me about it. I said, okay, you know, it's good to see that he's, you know, moving ahead
for
the right reasons. So, you know, we want to be connected with people like you, you know. When I say we, I mean the HMMA organization and my own organization, which is KBH Entertainment. That's my personal business for management and booking and so on and so forth. But, you know, having good people in my circle, so to speak, is something that I aspire to. And, you know, as I always tell people, you know, the strength of any project or initiative is only as strong as the sum of its parts. And exactly. if you have enough people involved with a clear vision of what they're doing, and they like what you're doing, and I like what you're doing, or whatever, then there's no competition going on. You know, mm-hmm. it's strictly synergy. So the better I do, the better you do, and so on and so forth. That's the kind of networking that we like. And we have tons and tons of connections in the music business. And as you know, there's, let's say, not everybody in the business is above board. But we seek out the ones that are. And the good people that are really good people, not only good at business, but good personally, those are the ones that we want to be connected to. So, you know, the social networking, for example, you know, our international audience is going to know, if they don't already, about Easy Way Broadcasting. And if we can do anything to help you connect with more people, then we've done our job.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm all for it. I appreciate that, man. I do. I want to go into a little bit about Boom Pop Radio. You know, you recently had this event. We went down there and they covered it. We will be putting out a teaser episode and a couple of interviews and a couple of things soon enough, guys, on Easy Way TV on our YouTube channel. But we did put the pictures up on our fans page, so if you want to check out Easy Way Broadcasting on Facebook, you'll see a whole bunch of pictures. And, you know, it's funny. I did an interview. I noticed you guys had Verdeen White there, and I actually did an interview with Verdeen White and his wife in his house with all of his platinum albums and stuff. You can search Eric Zulli and Verdeen White or Earth, Wind & Fire, and you'll see a private exclusive interview at his house. So
oh, nice, yeah. Yeah, they have a cool little old house right there off the Third, and I've been over there numerous times, and Verdeen and Shell are great, great people. And that's just another example of having good people connected. Verdeen White jumped at the chance to be on the HMMA advisory board. So we're happy to have him. And at the event, a couple of weeks ago on the 16th, when we did the career achievement presentation, the Earth, Wind & Fire, both Verdeen and Ralph Johnson were there. The only one that was missing was Philip Bailey, and
let me tell you, I commend you for that. I commend Boom Pop Radio, because I know about celebrity appearances and how hard it is and stuff, and to get one of them is hard enough, but to actually get two of them, that's enough to say you brought the actual Earth, Wind & Fire. You know, otherwise you got to actually just say it's their name, but you got two of them from the group, and I was surprised to see Ralph. I was like, dang, okay.
Yeah.
Dude, we got some amazing pictures. Amazing pictures. We got pictures of Ralph, Verdeen, and Redman. When you go to the fans page, you'll see them. And did you like the coverage?
Yes, I did. And actually, you have one of the better pictures of me, Ralph, and Verdeen together on the red carpet, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. We got your back, man. And so what is going on with Boom Pop Radio? They're with Sirius Radio. HMMA is involved. You know, and I need to ask you, man, because you're the quarterback. The way we work is when somebody brings something to us or someone opens an opportunity, we always go through that same point person. We always go through that quarterback. I mean, we're middle person media, and we're you know, we do most of our stuff on the middle person perspective, and that's what we're trying to teach people, and never cut out the middleman. I hate that saying, dude. Oh, just cut out the middleman. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
So what is actually going on with Sirius Radio, Boom Pop Radio, and HMMA?
Well, we have a couple of things that a couple of business platforms that we are storyboarding right now. But basically, Boom Pop Radio is a radio show that is part of the Dash Radio Network, which is owned and created by DJ Ski. And Dash Radio is carried on Sirius. But Bomb Pop Radio is basically created and geared toward the independent music artist community and the professional industry, music industry as well, and a lot of college colleges or college people listen to Bomb Pop Radio because it plays really cool music that you really can't find on other radio stations necessarily. There's so much great music out there, and there are opportunities for independent music artists, but the more opportunities that are created, the better it's going to be for the independent music artists. And Bomb Pop Radio is one of these platforms that was created specifically for the independent music artist community. So, you know, we're very supportive of that. And like I said, there's a couple of things in the pipeline. Dylan Berry, who is the host and the content creator, basically, of the show, he's a really, really great guy. I mean, besides being a composer and a producer and so on and so forth, as a matter of fact, he just had a meeting with the Will I Am people, and a television show is now being created, which I really can't, you know, go into detail about.
Wow.
But
cool. Is that a first time possible? That sounds like a break right there. It sounds like a news break. Easy way to get a news break.
Yeah, well, kind of keep that under your hat. I kind of let the rabbit out of the hat right now, but
okay,
I really
tell anybody. Yeah, you guys can hear.
Yeah, okay.
This is live, but we didn't hear that.
Yeah, exactly. But again, you know, that's a perfect example of the kind of people that we want to be connected to. Good people in Hollywood that are doing positive things for the community, and with a great potential to grow very quickly. And
I want to give props, since you mentioned Will I Am. I want to give props to Apple the App too. I know Apple and you know, his Jeepney Music and what he does with the Filipino community is amazing. And I've been trying to actually get Apple and my friend, who's the founder and president of Filipino American Network, Fan TV, together, because they would be really strong for the Filipino community. And then my friend Mark Pulido, who's the mayor of Cerritos, which is mainly Filipinos. A lot of Filipinos are in that area. You know, again, you know, connecting, making a difference and stuff. But that's cool. And I'm just playing with you, man. I mean, you didn't say anything. You just said that Bomb Pop Radio is making some advancements. They happen to have that advancement be with a particular name, star, and that's about it. So you didn't. I don't think you said anything improper. You broke a little bit of news. I wanted to point that out because we always, get the first breaks. But yeah, man, it's really cool what you're doing, and I think we can develop a lot of cool programs. And you know, I want to do some stuff with kids and schools and students and improving their academic achievements and their grades. And that's one of the things we're going to be doing. We're going to be working with a lot of students and interns, a lot of colleges and schools at our studio, and giving a lot of opportunity. We're not actually going to be hiring professional production people. We're going to be, the building is going to be a lot of opportunity to be given to, you know, to help improve the academic achievements and things like that. And so, I think that Easy Way and HMMA can, I mean, it goes together. Doesn't that sound cool?
HMMA, the Easy Way, yeah.
Yes, sir. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing a lot of reviews, okay? Because I'm kind of getting sick of the fakers, you know. And I'm not going to put anybody on blast and stuff, but we are a news network, and we are going to start really putting the reviews of people that are doing things in not just Hollywood, but everywhere. And you know, are you really doing the right thing, or are you not? You know, how are you really producing what you're producing? You know, are you getting a good review or a bad review? The new site that we have coming out is actually going to be able to let the fans be able to choose yes or no. You know, they're going to be able to really be very interactive. Same thing with my app. You know, and we're going to just say, hey, if you're not doing the right thing, people are going to know about it. If you are, then you're going to get more advancement. You're going to get more press. And so we'd definitely love to give you a great review. And I'm looking forward for you coming down to the studio, seeing what we have. We're doing a professional interview. In fact, I want to get some of these testimonials, some of these people that you're talking about, and put a real professional little production together to really highlight you, because you are one of the people in the industry, and this is coming from me, guys. You are one of the people in the industry that have truly done a lot of benefits for a lot of people. And you've been in the game for how long?
Oh, more years than I care to mention right now.
I'm not trying to age you, man, but I'm trying to show the experience.
I've been in the business over 30.
That's a long time to be in the business. And you still got your hair, so I commend you for
that. Yeah, exactly. And as I tell people, I've been in the business this long, and I'm still around, so I'm either doing something right or I'm just playing crazy out of my mind.
Yeah, so what made you come out, you and your former partner, come up with the name Hollywood Music and Media Awards?
Not to go into too much detail, the first event that we did was called the Hollywood Music Awards, and it was kind of an experimental type of an award show where we included some visual mediums, but a lot of the independent music artists. And the reason why I changed it to Hollywood Music in Media Awards, because it's very, very specific. And says exactly what it is. I'm in the process of actually rebranding and relaunching the entire brand. I won't be able to do it this year simply because of the lack of time that I have to do that kind of stuff. I'll have to wait until December and January to actually relaunch. But the entire look. And even the name, we may cut it down just to music and media. One of the reasons why we call it the Hollywood Music and Media Awards is because the name Hollywood is very recognizable around the world. You say the word Hollywood and people that don't even speak the language know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the entertainment capital of the world, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why the length of the name. It's kind of a long name, but it was thought out to be very specific, so that the branding of Hollywood is there, and then obviously what we do is we recognize the music of visual mediums. So, I think we've established the brand of what we do. Now I just need to relaunch it to maybe shorten it a bit, because everybody knows what it is now, and just make it a little easier to say.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Brent Harvey. Forget the HMMA for a moment here. Let's talk a little bit about Brent Harvey and your experience and why you got into what you got into, and who is Brent Harvey? What's your education?
Oh my God. Well, I will try to keep this short and concise, because
we have about 12 minutes.
My first instrument was trumpet, and then I became aware of rock and roll, like many kids do, and then I picked up the guitar. And in school, I was very, very active in the drama and theater and all that kind of stuff. I played all the leads, everything from Fagin and Oliver to Music Man. I was even Jesus Christ Superstar, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. I had the long blonde hair and all that shit. Anyway, the first event that I produced, and I'm going to give away my age here, but I did it at a very young age. I think I was 15 when I did it. It was called the second annual People's Festival, and it was 12 hours with 12 bands. I did it all by donation, two flatbed trucks and all that kind of stuff. Downtown Anchorage, Alaska, 1972. And I emceed the thing and did all that, and I did 95% of the work. The only thing I had to pay for was the porter toilets, but it was all done by donation. It was a success. We had hundreds of people out there for it, and I said, this is something I want to do. This is my calling. And then I started working in a nightclub at 16, and I would do the lights, work the sound, and play the music in between the sets of the bands. And this band came through that really liked what I did, and they said, "Hey, you want to go on the road with us? We need a roadie." And I said, "Okay." And so I toured with the band for about 2 years. They found out I could play, sing, and do all that, so I became a member of the band, an actual performing member. And then whenever we played L.A., we would play this nightclub chain here back in the day that people of a certain age would recognize. It is called the Red Onion. And in 77, the band broke up, and the owner of the Red Onion said, "Hey, you want a job?" And I said, "Sure." So I became a DJ at this club chain, and eventually became the entertainment director. I was with that club chain for 16 years, and it grew to 17 locations throughout Southern California. So I did all the music programming. I did all of the talent buying. I did all of the training manuals, all that kind of stuff. Anything that has to do with entertainment, I actually wrote the radio commercials. I voiceovered all of the radio commercials, did all that stuff. So I really cut my teeth in the corporate world running entertainment for this company. And then in 93, the company closed. And I had a decision whether I wanted to go to work for another company and put on a suit and work the 9-to-5, or if I wanted to develop a appetite for beans and start my own business. So I got used to beans, and that's when I started KBH Entertainment. Was 1994. Between then and now, I've done everything from headlining, booking headline entertainment for big, huge shows, to doing the small shows, which I love the best, and I still do 2 or 3 a month.
I want to do a big benefit concert, and like I said, we are involved with the United Nations, and we're actually working on a big Hollywood Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk off air, Brent. And, it sounds like you have a very accomplishing career. And so let's go into a little bit of the, two things I want to do. And we have another 5 minutes left. So I'm going to see if I can pull these both off. I told you about our artist, Viva Doll, who was number one in the Billboard charts and 500,000 albums sold, and was formerly with Universal. And I'm going to play a little bit of her song, and I want to get your opinion. And then two, I want to talk a little bit about this KBH Entertainment, or sorry if I mispronounced the name, but I didn't know that you did the management, and you have no idea how many people come to me. I mean, I have over 189,000 followers on Twitter. It's a verified account, and probably 30% of that following are artists that are, usually around the world. But believe it or not, a lot of them are in L.A. A lot of them are in L.A. And I have artists that they'll come up to me at events, and they'll give me their music, give me their card, and some of them are very, very talented. And, we have more synergy than I thought. And I'm glad. I love doing interviews with people, man, because you really get to know them. And, I just have a conversation. I forget that thousands of people are listening, all right, here's what I want to do. This is our artist. Her name is Viva Doll. She's number one on the Billboard chart. She's on the Billboard chart for 6 consecutive weeks, formerly with Max Music Universal. She sold over 500,000 albums, and now she's with Rad's Records. And we just recently did a very successful event. We're going to do another one end of August, which I definitely want to play with you on. By the way, guys, that's my term. I say play with people because I just have fun and I make money. I want to get your opinion. I want your honest opinion, because we do have a lot of high-level industry people that are going to be listening to your opinion. And then at the end of the segment, I don't want you to go anywhere because I want you to meet the Black Sabbath gentleman that we have coming on. And you guys were both in the Jesus Christ Superstar, so I think you guys will have something fun to talk about. But there'll probably be some interesting stories there. But yeah, man, this is Viva Doll. This is a song called Beat of My Heart. And you know, she's a total sweetheart, and I think she has a lot of talent. So guys, this is Brent Harvey, the co-founder of the Hollywood Music Community Awards and KBH Entertainment. It's a very established gentleman manager, and we didn't even go into how many people you've given awards to. We got to do that too. I got to extend the show, man. There's too much with you. All right, so this is Viva Doll Beat of My Heart, and we're gonna get Brent Harvey's opinion, co-founder of the Hollywood Music and Media Awards.
Hi boys, you ready to play? Get on board the Viva train. Boom boom boom, boom boom boom. From the birds. If it ain't safe in the neighborhood, get driven to the bars. It don't matter where you go, if it's love you're looking for.
Well, it's definitely commercial, and it has a very specific audience, which is good because it sounds like she knows who her audience is, and she has that very energetic dance vibe going on, which is cool, with some melodic singing, and she drops in some of the I wouldn't really call it rap, but spoken word. So yeah, it's got like three or four ingredients, which makes it, you know, commercially viable, radio friendly. And, obviously, like I said, you know, with a very specific audience. So that's very cool.
You are good, man. You just dissected that more than I thought you would have. And you caught it completely. I mean, it's EDM music. I mean, it's a Spanish, you know, Spanglish artist. She speaks Spanish as well as English. Spanish better. Her Spanish music, I think, is a little bit more, you know, that's her native language. So, but yes, EDM, electronic dance music. And definitely love to submit her to be nominated, and I'm sure that she'll win an award on your dance category. All right, guys, so let me just slid that in there.
Yeah.
So guys, we actually have our second guest, and then Brent, I told you I didn't want you to go anywhere, and it's kind of cool. Like, I'm listening to your story, and you guys have something in common. You know, he was the lead singer of Jesus Christ Superstar. You were involved in Jesus Christ Superstar, so I'm looking forward to hearing that opinion. So, guys, don't go anywhere. We're going to do a quick little commercial break. This is actually some endorsements of some people that truly support us and are behind us. And when we come back, we're going to have Brent Harvey, the founder, co-founder of the Hollywood Music and Media Awards, established in the industry for over 30 years, meet Jeff Finholt, which is lead singer of the Black Sabbath and Jesus Christ Superstar, and they're both pretty established people. I'm interested in hearing this conversation. So you guys are listening to Easy Talk Live on Easy Way Broadcast and powered by WTV Networks on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
I'm Aubrey O'Day, and I'm doing it the easy way.
I'm attorney Gloria Allred, and I'm doing Hollywood the easy way.
What up, y'all? It's your partner, Big Boy, Big Boy's Neighborhood, and guess what? I'm doing it the easy way, you're doing it the easy way, all of us are doing it the easy way.
Hi, I'm Larry Namer, co-founder of E! Entertainment Television, now president of Meitong Development Group, which works mainly in China. I really wanted to say a few words about Eric Zulli, or EZ, as a lot of people know him. I just want to say, Eric, keep up the dedication, the perseverance, and the creativity. You're helping to change the media world.
Jake Busey, I'm doing it the easy way.
Hey, Oba Babatunde here, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Jimmy from Crazy Town, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Yo, this is Ray J, and it's all about doing it the easy way. Hey, this is Brady Connell. I'm the executive producer of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and I've decided to do Hollywood the easy way.
Hello, I'm Tatiana Ali, and I do Hollywood the easy way.
Hi, I'm Sally Kirkland, and I'm doing it the easy way.
All right, guys, so here we go. We got our next guest, which is also going to be meeting our first guest, and this is Jeff Finhold, original lead singer, original lead for Jesus Christ Superstar, lead singer for Black Sabbath, on the cover of Time Magazine. That's big. 30 million albums sold, 6 worldwide tours, Christian Work International, Christian television show on 89 satellites, worldwide faith-based artist speaker in Atlanta. Just, oh, my God, this is going to be so cool, so much fun. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Mr. Jeff Finhold.
Buenos dias, mi hermano.
Well, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, buenos dias, mi hermano.
Good morning. Oh, poquito español. I'm sorry. I don't know what that means. No, I'm kidding. Hey. Welcome to the show, man. I'm your host, Eric Easy Zuli. I appreciate Sophia and bringing you on. Both believers. I love it. Actually, I'm looking forward to ambushing you here and introducing you to somebody. No, I'm kidding.
You were just playing an Hispanic artist on there, so I assumed you spoke Spanish and English.
Poquito español, como te amos, buenos dias, that's about it. But I'm looking forward to actually introducing our first guest. He's a good friend of mine. His name's Brent Harvey, and he was actually the co-founder of the Hollywood Music and Media Awards. And they make a big difference in a lot of artists' lives. They actually are legitimate, and they actually do. Yeah, we're going over a lot of the testimonials. And the reason I wanted to put you guys together is while Brent was telling us his story, he actually said that he was a part of he was involved in the Jesus Christ Superstar thing, and I thought you guys might have something in common. So,
So how were you involved, Brent?
Oh my God! All I did was I played Jesus Christ in my school's rendition of the musical.
That's cool. That's really
great. This was back, right when it actually came out, or right after it came out. I mean, I'm talking early 70s,
And, that's cool.
Yeah, and, my favorite is, the Garden of Gethsemane.
Gethsemane, I used to have to, do that every night. And we started as a rock opera, and we went out on tour, and we didn't have any costumes, but we did have an orchestra and a rock band. And we went out, and the album hit number one in the country, and then wound up selling 12 million double albums. And, the thing just got huge, so they asked me to go to Broadway. And being 19, I didn't want to go to Broadway because out on the road we were drawing 20, 30, 40,000 people a night. And the Broadway theater, Mark Helinger, only held 2,800. So I was looking at it totally like, I don't want to go and sing in front of a bunch of suits on Broadway. But they wound up talking me into it financially. And then I went ahead and opened on Broadway. But that's funny that we both did that part.
Yeah. I think the reason why I got it is because my hair was long enough.
Yeah, you were probably skinny.
Yeah, I was just a kid, but it was fun. We didn't have an orchestra, but we did have a band. But it was just it was a high school play, So,
well, people are still performing it everywhere, all over the world, Europe, Asia, Australia. They're touring all the time, and I appreciate it. It helps the Lifestyle Development Fund, so I'm very happy.
Hey, I want to remind you, this is a non-censored show, so be careful with the answer on this question. But I want to hear you guys' craziest rock band on tour story. And of course, you're our guest, Jeff Finhold. So if you could please be the first person to jump that off. Looking forward to your answer.
Well, the one that comes to mind, I can't say on radio.
That's what I thought.
That goes for me, too.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Let's just say we had a very well-endowed lead guitar player on the Bible Black Tour. And for the parties, he would stand naked at the door, and everybody that came in had to shake something to get in.
Oh, God.
So that's one. That's the first one that comes to mind. But I remember setting fire. The same guitar player set fire to a hotel room, and we all ran out, had to exit this. It was actually a nice motel. But the band exited, and there were about five band members, and the fire department was laughing because there were about 40 naked girls that came out with towels wrapped around them and stuff, and had to stand outside and wait for them to put out the fire. So we've had some crazy ones.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah,
Brent, can you keep up with those stories or what?
Oh, God,
oh,
yeah. I mean, you know, when you're in a touring band, there's all sorts of crazy stuff that happens, and especially one that isn't well-funded, like the touring band that I was in. So, you know, we would either be using U-Hauls or our personal cars or whatever, and I think it was either Napa or Boise that we were playing, and there was some convention in town, and all the hotels were taken. So we had to camp out for 2 weeks while we were playing the gig. And, you know, I mean, camping out and not being prepared to camp out, you know, we're talking about... Yeah, we're talking about nightclub band. And back in those days, of course, we did a lot of drinking, a lot of partying and all that kind of stuff. And our leader of the band one night, we were all drunk, I think, and the leader of the band one night couldn't wait in line to go to the bathroom. So we're standing outside, and he says, "I got to go." And he starts peeing on a car, you know, on a wheel of a car. And he didn't even notice, and we didn't notice until he started, that it was black and white.
And it was black and white. That's what I thought, yeah. Oh,
and the cops came out halfway through his stream, so to speak, and they just kind of stood there and laughed and waited for him to finish, and let's just say he got off because we had to go up and do another set, but
you're
they let him go as long as he wouldn't be behind the wheel, which we thought was very cool because we had long hair and we were in Napa, Idaho.
Wow.
You know? So,
All right, Brent. I'm gonna get going with our interview here with our next guest. But I just wanted you guys to meet each other, and hopefully, you know, we can all come together at my office or studio or in Hollywood sometime, and see how we can make a difference together.
Actually, it's good timing because I do have to get to a meeting. I'm actually meeting with First Entertainment Credit Union we're doing a deal where they give extended discounts for music artists through the HMMA, and they give increased savings, percentages, more so than putting it in a bank. So if a music artist creates an account, they'll make more money by putting their savings in there than they do a bank. Anyway,
I'm going to have to get you with one of our partners, Music That Pays. I'm going to definitely put you guys together. But all right, Brent, it was a pleasure, man, and I'm glad the timing worked out. You've been an amazing guest. We'll definitely send you the archive and the blog post, and we'll pump this out there, and probably call your friend, and we'll keep on making some moves the easy way.
All right, very good. Jeff, it was great to meet you. Thank you so much for your time and the call today, Eric, and it's Brent Harvey doing it the easy way.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. The co-founder of the Hollywood Music and Media Awards, guys. All right, Brent, I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
See you, Brent.
All right, guys. So we are going to get started here with Mr. Jeff Finholt. Man, so many amazing stories. Again, I'm going to repeat his little resume here so you know who we're about to talk to. The original lead for Jesus Christ Superstar, lead singer of Black Sabbath, on the cover of Time Magazine. Okay, let me go into that, okay? Time Magazine is one of the biggest magazines for, you know, political as well as entertainment. I mean, there that's not an easy magazine to get into. You got like People Magazine, Entrepreneur, Time, and like that's mainstream. Man, what was going on your head when you realized, I mean, getting on the cover of Time Magazine and 30 million albums sold. I mean, 30 million. You know how many pennies that is?
Yeah.
You know, like, congrats on your success, man.
Well, unfortunately, I was drunk for the shoot, for the cover of Time, and I almost cost us the cover of Time because the Time Magazine photographers got fed up and gave up, and the only shot they had of me that they could use for the cover of Time was going to require that my head cut into the word Time. And up to that point, they had never let anything cut into the word Time on the cover. But this time, they let my face go up into the word Time. And I was, like I said, I was drunk. I was mean. And I thought, and I was a kid. I was really young. And I thought, you know what? A photo shoot to me means, you know, 10, 20 minutes. Take some shots. And if you can't get them in 10 or 20 minutes, man, you know. So, but the good news was I did wind up on the cover. You're talking about, 35 years ago, for gosh sakes, or more. And that magazine at that time, that would be like the equivalent of getting about, 20 million hits on the Internet right now or something. I mean, it was definitely a big deal, and we were all excited about it. At that time, it didn't mean that much to me. I mean, I was excited to know that I was on the cover Time, but I didn't understand the ramifications of it, really.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool, though, because, I've been on the cover of a couple magazines, but nowhere near that status. And still the fact that you can have your own copy of the magazine, you can put it into a frame and put it on the wall, you know what I mean? That's pretty cool. And to be able to say that you were on the cover of Time, that'll last with you and, you know, go down and pass down to your kids. And, I mean, that's a big, big-time accomplishment. So, and then you were in Black Sabbath. I mean, like you were in one of the biggest rock groups. You know, I'd love to hear some of the stories of you know, what's going on tour and how did you end up getting into the group? How did you end up, you know, moving with that movement?
It was pretty weird. I had toured with Craig Gruber, who was the bass player on the Heaven and Hell album for Black Sabbath, and Gary Driscoll, who was the original founder, he and Craig, of Rainbow, And then we did a tour, and it was heavy metal. It was just crazy. And then I wound up in the midst of the drugs and the craziness, I wound up becoming a believer in God. So I started trying to get my drugs, you know, gone and started trying to clean up my life. And right in the middle of that, I got a call from Don Art, who was Sharon Osbourne's, Ozzy's wife's father. And he was managing Black Sabbath. So Don calls me up with his British accent, and he goes, "Hey, mate, we just heard a tape on you," or something, I forget what. And he goes, "I need you to come to the office now." He said, "Black Sabbath, we're looking for a singer." So I went down to the office, and I sat with Don. And Don said at the end of our meeting, he said, "I just needed to make sure you weren't crazy by now, or, you know, this will be great." So he said, "I want you and Tony," he said, "you guys are going to have dinner tomorrow night, talk about the band." So I went to Tony Iommi, the guitar player, I went to his hotel. I forget the name of it. It's that Hollywood famous old hotel on Sunset. I went to the hotel, I met with Tony, and we got together and then went up to his suite, started immediately writing music. So that was in November. I went in the studio, Cherokee Studio, and recorded an album with Black Sabbath as, you know, lead singer. And at that point, I ran into Nicky Cruz. I met Nicky Cruz, the guy that did the movie, The Cross and the Switchblade. And Nicky had been a gangbanger, and he had been in a gang in New York City called the Mau Maus, and Nicky was the warlord. He was a bad guy that gave his heart to Christ and started getting his head together and really, really started going out and evangelizing. And I ran into him in the street right down from the Black Sabbath offices, or Don Arden's office. And I ran into Nicky, and I go, hey, man, I know you from TV. So Nicky started talking to me, and he goes, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm here. I'm in the studio at Cherokee with Black Sabbath. And we're making an album. And Nicky goes, oh, man. He goes, you're a Christian? I said, yeah. And he goes, and you're with Black Sabbath? I said, and he goes, so what kind of music are you doing this time? Are you doing music about God? I said, no. And then Nicky looked at me and he said something that shook me, Eric. And I mean, it first it ticked me off.
Mm.
But then I got a handle on it because, first of all, you don't mess with Nicky Cruz. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. Nicky's the kind of guy that he loves Jesus. But if he ever forgets that he loves Jesus and you cause him some trouble, you could be in a world of hurt. And so I looked at him. Nicky looked at me. He goes, you know what your problem is, man? I said, he's got an accent. I said, what? He goes, you're a coward. I said, excuse me? He goes, you're a coward. I said, what are you talking about, man? He said, you told me that you were hooked on cocaine, that you were having panic attacks, and you had to take drugs and be drunk all the time. And he said, and you just told me that Jesus set you free, and the first thing you did was join Black Stinking Sabbath? That you are a coward. He said, and you will not stand up for the God who set you free.
Mm.
I just looked at him, and Nicky looked at me, and he goes, here's my office number. He said, I'm going to be in Asuncion, Paraguay. He said, I assume you're rich. I said, yes, I am. He said, then you're going to buy your own plane tickets. You're going to pay for your own hotels. And he goes, in 2 weeks, he said, you call my office. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be in Asuncion, Paraguay, and I'm doing a tour of South America. And he said, either you buy a plane ticket, and he said, you speak Spanish some. So he said, you learn 3 Christian songs in Spanish. You meet me in Asuncion, Paraguay in 2 weeks, and you're going to sing at the stadium. And he goes, and then we're going to tour South America. And he said, I'll get you the whole itinerary. You can buy all your tickets, and you're traveling with me. And he goes, if you are there in Asuncion, Paraguay, then you're going to honor God, and you're going to stop being a coward, and you're going to serve the Lord. He goes, if you're not there in Asuncion, Paraguay, then he said, you keep going with Black Sabbath. You do what you've been doing all along. You fall back into drugs and the women and the debauchery that you were into. And he said, you might as well party like your life is almost over. Because he said, you're on your way to hell, and that's where you're going.
Mmm. Whoa.
And I'm telling you, it shook me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back.
Yeah, that's, let me jump on that a little bit, Jeff. That's what a lot of people forget about. You know, guys, if you're listening, you know, this is all materialistic. The world's materialistic, and you got to think about that day that you know, there's always going to be that last day, and what happens afterwards. Nobody really knows. Everybody has their own beliefs. But what if it is God? What if it? And me, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a vehicle. We're a faith-based company. You know, we only do what we do for God. We're giving Hollywood back to God. But what if? You know, I'm going off everybody's beliefs here. What if it is you're walking through those pearly gates and you have that opportunity to, you know, hey, this is what you did on Earth. This is what you're made for, and you're the thumbs up or your thumbs down. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
you know, and so this is a great story, and I hope this inspires some people that are listening.
I didn't like go off like bazooka mouth on all my friends or anything, but I just simply I was having trouble with Black Sabbath anyway. We had been in the studio for 6 months, and we only had 5 songs completed. And Tony didn't like any of my lyrics because he said they weren't Sabbath enough. He wanted me to record a song called Defiant and Damned, which they wrote the lyrics for, I think, Geezer, Terry Butler, who is Terry Butler. I think maybe he wrote the lyrics. I can't remember. And I refused to sing them. Anyway, I went to Black Sabbath. I said, I'm out of the studio. I'm doing a tour of South America. When I get back, we'll talk. Well, I got criticized for that a lot. A lot of people called me names for quitting the group and going off and doing what I did. But I don't regret a minute. Don't regret.
So you weren't in like a contract? Because I know a lot of times when you get involved in a group of that caliber, I mean, there's always some sort of contract that commits you. How was the business aspect of you being involved with Black Sabbath? Was it not exclusive? Or, I mean, usually you get locked in.
They asked me if I wanted a salary or a percentage, and I went for the percentage. And being the lead singer, I believed, you know, that I was going to make a couple of million bucks on the first tour or whatever. Being the lead singer, I always had a very arrogant attitude. Like, they can't, you know, once I'm recording and I'm in this thing, they can't go back on me, and the further down the road I get, the more power I have. So in terms of signing any commitment, I did not sign a commitment. At that point, I went in and figured my commitment was recording and putting my voice on their product. So
Smart man.
Yeah, well, I've been through the wars a few times, and if I had been, I'm not cracking on bass players or anything, but if I'd have been a different part of the group, I probably would have opted to sign quickly. But being the singer, I figure I'm the front guy, I'm in the driver's seat. The further down the road I get, the more they need me. So, you know, but anyway, it turned out to be the right decision. And I was singing in Spanish in South America, Argentina, Brazil. And oh, by the way, I know that we're talking here about Hollywood and all this, and it's not necessarily meant to be a platform for, like, faith speaking or whatever. But I believe in my heart that the awakening of God that is coming on America is coming through the Hispanic community. It's going to rise up. It's going to rise up through the Hispanic community, and it's going to saturate America. And there are a bunch of reasons that I believe that, but it's suffice to say that I believe it. So, you know, undocumented people are getting called a lot of names right now. A lot of crazy stuff is happening. But what the enemy or the devil means for destruction, God will turn to good. And the Hispanic people are a great people. The people in America, the undocumented. I've been working that with Nikki Cruz. I worked it for 20 years. Went into the prisons all throughout South and Central America. Worked that whole thing. And I'm telling you, I know the people. I know their heart. And I know God. And I believe that the Spirit of God is going to pour out on America coming through the Hispanic community.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, Jeff, because one of our artists, she's a top Billboard artist, number one on the Billboard for 6 consecutive weeks. She was known for a song called Boobies, Boobies, and Nirvana, and it was big in the Hispanic community. Former Universal, sold over 500,000 albums, and she's now with us, and we are working with her on an EDM circuit. And as you know, EDM is one of the biggest forms of music. It's one of the biggest. Like, EDM is just taking over everything. Electronic dance music, for those of you guys that don't know what EDM means. And she does the Hispanic music as well as the English music. And it's funny that you said that, because I somewhat agree with you that it is going to come through the Hispanic market, because that's the biggest market. And I think that I really think that our artist is a vehicle in passing God's word and making a change. I'm not even going to go into all the evil and all the stuff and the da 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 that's happening in government. You know, but you're right. You're right. And there needs to be those soldiers that are going to combat a lot of this stuff. And I think that you know, music is a really good way. Because just like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go into too much, but there's subconscious things and there's things that people do through entertainment that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just like there's the negative, you can also revert it and combat it with the positive. You can do the same thing but reverse it. You know what I mean?
Well, think of creating a whole genre in the EDM movement that is good, clean, solid. You know, you don't have to hit every high mark of I'm going to praise God and God's going to be blessed and praised by my voice and blah. You can do it by saying, you know, look at the earth, look at the goodness of the earth, or you can say anything about, you know, you can just put things in where people know that you are talking about God or you're talking about things that are good. And we got so much crap, man, going around out there on the earth. We need some good positive stuff. EDM, I think, could create a very powerful market by going good, clean, and in some instances, you know, lifting up the name of the Lord. I think you.
Well, I want to try to create something that's like rock and EDM. And I mean, let me give you for instance, man. Since you're talking about God, God gave me the ability to be, and this is put out by a lot of other press, so this isn't me saying it, but, you know, the next digital Dick Clark. And the reason being is we have our own 22,000 square foot facility. We're building a music studio. We have the ability to do all the production stuff. I mean, it's the biggest facility in Orange County, as well as we reach hundreds of millions of people through our blogging efforts and our news station and all the stuff that we can do. And, you know, it's a vehicle to make a difference. You know, it's an easy way is we connect like-minded people, and most of the people that follow us and deal with us are like-minded, faith-based people. Then they see that this is God's vehicle, not ours, and that's why it's getting as strong as we are. I mean, we're with the United Nations, Beverly Hills and Los Angeles, Southern California. You know, and it's great to meet another believer. You know, I have to ask, what was that thing, Jeff, that turned you? Because it sounds like you had a pretty crazy life. What was that thing that made you find God, that turned you towards God, that made you decide to promote?
I know this was not meant to be a whole big, you know, faith-based discussion, but there's no way to sugarcoat it. I was demon-possessed, and if anybody wants to say they don't believe in demons, I'm going to say, I hope you never run into one. But if you do, you better know the name of Jesus. I was full of the devil. I know the moment that the devil took hold of me, and I'm not going to go into my whole background, but I've gotten into the whole dark side of things and blah, 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 blah. And I had no way out, and I thought I was going to have to shoot myself. Here I was living in the equivalent today of a $20 million mansion in Long Island, in Belterre, 6 acres on the ocean, 12,000 square foot stone house built by Stanford White, and everything's paid off. I'm driving Bentleys and all this other stuff, but I was having mental problems that nobody knew about. I didn't go around saying anything. I didn't go around saying, man, I'm hearing some voices and I can't sleep and I gotta be stoned all the time. And just to cut to the chase, a group of carpenters came in, Nick DeCipio, who'd gotten saved out of the mafia. He came in with a group of carpenters to work on a wing of my house, and they were a rehabilitation center, a Christian rehabilitation center Nick had set up, and the men that were working for him were all guys that had come out of prison and had given their hearts to God and were rehabilitating, and they were working for his construction company. So I walked right into the middle of that, and Eric, all I'm going to say is, man, those guys, they started witnessing to me. It got weird. Cursing me, cursing them, different things. And then finally I said, man, just do it. Pray for me. And when they prayed for me, all this stuff lifted off of me. I can't explain it. All I can say is I started giggling like a little grade school girl. I was going around, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it, you know. And this is a 28-year-old, quote-unquote, rock star who thinks he is the cat's whiskers. But, man, all that lifted off me. I felt the insanity lift off me. I felt the murder, the hate that I felt. It all left. And that's why no matter what I do, if I'm doing – if I was around the heavy metal guys or rock and roll or whatever, I'm going to be who I am now. And a lot of these guys still love me, and I love them too. I just know what I was and who I was a minute before Nick DiCiprio prayed for me in half Italian and what I was a minute after they finished praying for me. And that's why when Nicky said to me, "You're a coward. Either you come to Asuncion, Paraguay, and sing in Spanish for Christ, or you stay with Black Sabbath." Just to, you know, Black Sabbath meant a certain amount of money and a certain amount of worldly prestige. But when you've had an experience like I had at my mansion in Long Island that day, when you've had an experience like that, there's nowhere to go, Eric. There's nowhere to go. I mean, I can screw up maybe here or there, or have a problem or hang out with people that are wild or whatever. And I, you know, I've got a lot of wild friends, but I am not going to change ever again who I was, because I am never signing for that demonic package again.
You know, I have somebody that I want you to meet, and he's a very good friend of mine. He's one of our loyal supporters. He's part of the Mulu family, and he's a celebrity stunt car driver. But he's a man of God. He's a very, very powerful man of God. And when you talked about, I mean, I'm not going to go into too deep, because we are. I got to remember, we're on the radio here. We got thousands of listeners.
Hollywood,
you know, but
Hollywood, go get
him.
You know.
But you know, he. I've actually seen videos of him relieving demons from people and stuff. I mean, he's really, you know, real serious. And you know, they're actually working on a major reality show. I turn him on to some people I deal with to put a reality show. It's like Fast Cars and God. It's pretty cool. I really want you guys to meet each other. I think you'd like each other. So going into now, you know, Time Magazine, 30 million albums sold, and then you have 6 world tours. Then now, you know, I don't know when this started, but you have Christian Work International, Christian television show. I noticed that it was like evil, 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 God, 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 God. You know, like, and I saw that transition.
Yeah.
And I'm not, by no means am I calling, you know, calling Black Sabbath evil or anything like that. It's mainstream, but I know what's behind the scenes in that world and that life. You know what I mean?
It was crazy.
And
it wasn't good for me. I mean, when I was around that environment, I was doing, you know, I was drinking some and backsliding some. And you know what? It's just some people would call it evil. I just call it something I don't want to be a part of anymore.
It's different.
Yeah, it's just different, you know.
So, okay, let's go into the Christian Work International, and then you have a Christian television show?
I had a Christian television show, and I've been asked to come back to it, and I might. I mean, I'm thinking about going back on Christian television in July here in August. I've been asked to do a concert and stuff. I mean, when do you get too old to do a concert? I mean, you know, I don't like seeing these old guys trying to act like they're 30. I mean, trying to act like they're some, you know, whatever. But,
well, I think,
you know,
if it's a benefit concert and you're doing, you know, stuff to for the right reasons, there is no too old. You know, I mean, come on, look at I mean, they have some of these people that are in the 90s that are still coming out and doing their thing just because of the causes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. If the music's good, I've got some good music now, so I think I'm going to come out and do some stuff there. But I've been working on a couple of projects too. WarriorDown.com, which is raising money for fallen soldiers' families and the wounded, and rescuing military canine dog from the war zones over in the Middle East and bringing them into the United States, and if possible reuniting them with their master who they had while they were in the war zone. Would you believe it? The government won't pay to bring the dogs back.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, hey, you know, hey, we're off air now. I apologize, Jeff. You know, I got so much into the conversation with you that airtime cut off, and we're just kind of talking now. So I didn't want you. You know, we're off air now. But dude, I want to meet you. I want you to come down to my studio, my office. Are you in L.A.? Where are you at?